Live from Edinburgh, Radio Napier News.
Good afternoon. This is Radio Napier News. I'm Owen O'Donnell. Today's top stories are Armistice Day ceremonies held around the city, changes to payday loans to protect consumers, and a surprise appearance from a new book sculpture. Today, cities all over Britain paid tribute to those who lost their lives in war. Jessica Lindsay has the report from Edinburgh.
The busy city centre fell silent today for Armistice Day. The public gathered under Walter Scott Monument to pay their respects for fallen servicemen. The 2-minute silence and service were held at the Garden of Remembrance, which was installed earlier this month and has attracted visitors from all over the UK. The last post on the bugle was played before a recital of Binion's lines was read. A single piper then closed the ceremony. Stuart Ballantyne, war veteran and volunteer at Lady Hague Poppy Factory, spoke to Edinburgh Napier News.
It was hell on earth 100 years ago. For some of these boys were about 15, between 15 and 20 years old that lost their lives. And Britain has been in conflict for 100 years. We've never ever been out of acute conflict. And so somewhere, you know, in the world. So a lot of men have lost their lives, a lot of women, you know, have lost their lives through conflict. And to give us what we have today, the free speech and how we're alive today, is through these people. And it's always good to remember that.
The turnout of the ceremony was high, which may be due to the fact this year marks 100 years since the beginning of World War One. Corporal Brown of 3rd Battalion the Rifles had the honour of playing the bugle at the service.
Yeah, I found it was really hard. Towards the end, I started, my mouth really dried up, so it was really hard to actually hit the notes, but I was really privileged to play in front of everybody here, and it's a privilege doing it wherever I play it for my fallen friends that I lost in Hurricane 11.
It is hoped that services like these will ensure the lost generation will never be forgotten, even after the remaining survivors are gone. This is Jessica Lindsay for Napier News.
Edinburgh Council today approved a proposal to put before the Scottish Government in an effort to meet the city's need for affordable housing. The Strategic Housing Investment Plan has a target of creating 4,000 new homes in the capital by 2019, hoping to generate over £300 million in both the local and national economy, in addition to 7,000 new jobs. Councillor Cammy Day, co-convener of the Council's Housing Committee, is sure that they will deliver on this.
I'm confident, however, that we will get there. I suppose the council will never deliver that itself. The council will work with our RSL partners and development partners across the city to try and make that target.
The announcement was welcomed by Ian Gordon, CEO of Bethany Christian Trust, albeit with a reminder that the issue of homelessness in the city must be addressed.
So houses are great and it's going to have a great impact, but we need to remember that there are some people who will constantly need support within the city, and we shouldn't forget about them either.
Now with international news, we're over to Rachel.
Thanks, Owen. The captain of the South Korean ferry that sank in April, killing more than 300 people, has been found guilty of gross negligence. He was sentenced to 36 years in prison. The Seawall ferry was carrying almost 500 people when it sank, most of them school children. Lava in Hawaii has destroyed its first home, in a village on the east side of the island. Authorities are worried as lava from the Kialua volcano is flowing across the island. And Chinese President Xi Jinping is supporting moves to speed up free trade in Asia. He announced his position at a summit between leaders of 21 Asian Pacific nations.
Thanks, Rachel. The Financial Conduct Authority has announced new restrictions on the interest rates set by payday loan companies. They won't be able to charge more than double in interest for their loans to customers, amongst other changes to come into effect from January. Alan Clark has more on the story.
Payday loan rates will be capped at 0.8% of the amount borrowed each day under the FCA changes, which means someone who takes out a loan of £100 over 30 days and pays back on time will pay no more than £24 in interest. The FCA's research has shown that 70,000 people who were able to secure a payday loan now would not be able to do so under the new, stricter rules. Richard Griffiths from the Consumer Finance Association says the changes will have a big effect on customers.
No industry wants a price cap and a price restriction, and you know it will have ramifications for borrowers in the future.
He also hinted that people who could not go to the big companies may turn to loan sharks.
It's a question there of where that demand goes to, because people will still need to borrow money, and if they can't get it from the regulated responsible lenders, like the ones that we represent, then they will seek credit elsewhere.
With the busy Christmas period nearly upon us, it means payday loan companies will still be able to rake in interest fee charges before the updated rules arrive in the new year. Alan Clark, Napier News.
Today, a new exhibition by the Scottish War Blinded has opened its doors to the public in Edinburgh's Central Library, telling the story of chemical weapons used in World War I and the soldiers their use left blind. Craig Watson reports.
It will all be over by Christmas. Surely Christmas. These were the words of the hopeful few that echoed throughout World War I. But in 1915, hearsay on the Western Front told of a new terror, leaving scores dead in the British trenches at Ypres. The impact rattled the world. An insidious new weapon had been deployed in the Great War. Poison gas. The story is still being told today, and one Edinburgh exhibit now hopes to remind people of the involvement of chemicals in the First World War. Gary Seath, managing director of the exhibit, tells the story and why the message is so important.
Silhouettes in the Fog and Guiding Lights describes the development of chemical warfare during World War I and Scottish War Blindies Foundation in 1915. I think it's important, particularly to an Edinburgh audience, to describe the foundation of Scottish War Blinded and the training and rehabilitation provided as a result.
Jackie Salter, deputy manager of the Scottish War Blinded's Lindburn Centre, where the exhibition's artworks were created, describes the centre's importance and the inspiration of the blinded veterans there.
All of our members have all been involved with the forces at some point or another during their career, and they all now have a significant visual impairment. It's absolutely amazing what the members are actually being able to come up with. People that have never done any artwork before are all of a sudden creating these masterpieces. People have been using their imaginations and also drawn from their own experience, and what they're seeing is their sort of visual interpretation of what people experienced during World War I, and it's fantastic.
One veteran, John Patterson, is held up as the hero of the centre, drawing on vivid visual memories of the Second Great War.
I was in the war, a flight engineer on Lancaster bombers. So I did 32 bombing raids over Germany. I shut my eyes.
So on this, the 96th Armistice Day, some of the nation's highest regarded few tell their story through vision, a facet long lost to them. Craig Watson, Napier News, on Armistice Day.
The exhibit is open at the city's Central Library and will run until the 15th of November. The time has just gone 2:07, and we're back over to Rachel for the rest of the UK news.
The Labour Party has announced plans to use next week's opposition debate day to allow MPs to vote on the issue of European arrest warrants. The move comes after MPs voted to sign up to 35 new EU justice measures, but were not allowed to vote on the EAW. Parents are being told not to include fruit juice in their children's five a day. New research shows that many of the fruity drinks contain 6 teaspoons of sugar. That's more than a can of cola. And it has been revealed that plans to build new runways at Heathrow and Gatwick airports may cost substantially more than previously estimated. The Airport Commission said the work would cost £3 to £4 billion more than previously stated. Back to you, Owen.
Thanks, Rachel. An Edinburgh councillor has shaved his head in aid of fighting prostate cancer. It comes as the annual Movember campaign is fully underway. Our reporter Chris Martin has more.
Millions are growing, shaping and waxing their tashes for Movember. But one Edinburgh councillor has in fact shaved his head to raise money for prostate cancer. 70-year-old Ronald Cairns was diagnosed with prostate cancer over a year ago, and he has urged people of all ages to get checked.
So what was the reason you decided initially to shave off your hair?
Well, we're getting a year's cancer treatment, and the operation and the way the hospital treated me, I had 5-star treatment.
How much money have you raised so far? And how much are you looking to raise?
I thought about maybe get 500. Today it looks like we're about 700.
£700.
And there's still a lot to come.
Do you think there's do you think there needs to be more awareness about prostate cancer?
Yes.
You do? Why do you think that?
Because folk don't know. I think it's great the guy's growing moustaches now. Andy designing for the charity is fantastic.
Movember spokeswoman Ronnie Blewett has backed calls for more youngsters to be aware of male cancers.
I would say definitely if you have any doubts at all. There's no harm in getting checked, is there really? With prostate cancer, it's all about catching it early, so, and same with testicular. So if you have any kind of doubt about it, or if you feel any that it could be that, then just get it checked straight away. There's no harm in that.
So remember, guys, a small change in your shaving routine could make a huge difference. Chris Martin, Napier News.
Another beautiful book sculpture has appeared in Edinburgh today. Heather Thompson reports.
When the War Poets Collection at Edinburgh Napier University arranged to display one of the famous Edinburgh book sculptures, they got a surprise. The anonymous artist had gifted them poppies for Remembrance Day. Catherine Walker is the curator.
A mysterious box also arrived, addressed to the War Poets Collection, which was quite a surprise and a shock. When I opened it, and to my amazement, found this beautiful bouquet of paper poppies from the artist with a little tag on it saying, "Lest we forget." This building was built as a hydropathic in 1880, but opened and was requisitioned by the War Office in 1916 as a hospital treating shell-shocked officers coming back from the front.
Were there any famous patients?
Yes, significantly we had Siegfried Sassoon, who was sent to Craig Lockhart having protested that the war was being prolonged unnecessarily. So he wasn't truly shell-shocked in the same sense that Wilfred Owen was, the other great poet of the First World War. And of course the third person who knew Craig Lockhart was Robert Graves, because he was detailed to bring Siegfried Sassoon to the building.
Are the poppies going to be on display?
Yes, they are. They're on display, they'll be in a drawer in the War Poets Collection just beside the Admissions and Discharge Register. That's the most appropriate place that we can think of to display them. But in the long term, because we're also buying a ceramic poppy from the Tower of London art installation, I do hope that in the fullness of time, once we get the ceramic poppy delivered, we can perhaps fundraise and get some more glass cases to keep these two very significant tokens of remembrance in a more appropriate surrounding.
For more information, go to www.radionapier.com. Heather Thompson, Radio Napier.
Now we're joined by Lewis for the sport.
Thanks, Owen. Thousands turned out for Hart's annual remembrance service on Sunday in honour of the legendary McCrae's Battalion who served during World War I. 16 members of the Hart's playing squad of the time were enlisted, with 7 tragically losing their lives. Current Heart squad were in attendance, with club captain Danny Wilson paying tribute in a touching reading.
Lottie Speedy Curry Ellis and Gracie Allen Boyd all died for the country they loved, the title null and void. On the sum their life they gave whilst playing for the Maroon, lying there in a grave in France by the light of the silvery moon.
Following the service, our reporter Alan Clark spoke with Hearts official Scott Gardner, who also expressed his pride at the numbers who turned up at Haymarket to remember the fallen Hearts heroes.
I thought it was very, very appropriate and extremely emotional, following on from yesterday, which was powerful, I thought, for the minute of silence. Today was exactly as we wanted it to go. Crowds, police have estimated at about 2,000, so which is amazing as well, and just appropriate.
Moving on from the Remembrance Day tribute, and David Moyes is once again back in employment after he was named manager of Spanish side Real Sociedad. This is his first job since his 10-month period in charge of Manchester United came to an end in April. Spanish football expert Guillaume Balaguer has revealed that Sociedad have been pursuing Moyes for some time, with the club believing he is the man to guide them back up the La Liga table.
Real Sociedad have not accepted a no for an answer. They've been insisting, they really wanted him to be the man. In terms of targets, it's quite clear that a top 10 can be achieved. And after that, Europe. This is a team that should be fighting for Europe the following season.
And finally, in tennis news, Andy Murray will take on Milos Raonic in the ATP World Tour Finals in London this evening. If he is to progress to the next stage, then victory is a must. And that's all of today's sports news, Owen.
Thanks, Lewis. Do you fancy Andy Murray's chances then?
His form's been quite patchy recently, but if he plays to his best, then I'd think he'll win.
Thanks. And finally, a new Edinburgh shopping website attempts to bridge the gap between indie and online. Josiah Whitworth reports.
Renowned for its character and beauty, the country's capital surely has a shopping culture to match all the city's natural and architectural prowess. With local, boutique and specialist shops aplenty, Rebecca Christensen wanted to bring the charm of Edinburgh's independent shops to an online market.
It's hard for people to be able to find independent businesses if they don't live in the city. So I thought if I built essentially a virtual high street of Edinburgh's best known independent businesses, then that would make it easy for people to be able to find them all in one place.
From Brotique male grooming products to South American adventures to cake shops and high fashion, you can find it in Edinburgh streets and side alleys.
Josiah Whitworth reporting.
That's it from us today. You can keep up to date with all the latest news at www.radionapier.com, or you can tweet us at Radio Napier. Thank you and good afternoon.
This is Radio Napier.